If you've got your Bible, you'd like to turn to John chapter 3. We won't be staying there all the time, but we certainly will be there for a little while. I told Pastor Mitchell that I thought we'd been here a year this weekend, but it's actually next weekend. So we've still got another weekend to go. Doesn't time go fast? And definitely one of the best things we could have done at our age was to move to Bendigo, because we've got a lovely church family and we've got a lovely property, and God has been just really blessing over this last year. If you wonder why Robin's not here, sorry, I'll just turn myself on. Hang on. You're wondering why Robin's not here. She had a fall on Friday night and she's bruised herself big time, but at the moment she's okay. Right, this morning's message is born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. And we're going to read through the first 18 verses of John chapter 3. Just to get the context of where this message came from. So if you'd like to follow me, we'll read through the first 18 verses of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then verse 16, which is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's a passage that I'm sure you have read and heard read many times. So this morning we're just going to look at the title or the topic, Born Once, Die Twice. Born Twice, Die Once. We were all born once. We wouldn't be here if we were not all born once. And we will, most of us, will at least die once. There will be some people, some Christians, who are alive at the Lord's second coming, and they won't even get to die once. They'll be taken as they are. I used to think I would be one of those people. I used to think that the Lord would return in my lifetime, but as I'm aging, year by year, I'm beginning to think maybe it won't happen in my lifetime. Maybe I have to think about, I'll have to die and to go and be with the Lord. So we're all born in the flesh. We're all born of water. John 3:5 says that. But not all will be born of the Spirit. That's the rebirth. So we're all born once. We're all born of the water. But we're not all born of the Spirit. We're not all reborn. We're not all born again. We're not all born a second time. Now, I trust that everyone in this room is. That would be really good. But we just don't know. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night. Now, I've heard a lot of messages about he came at night because he was scared to be seen and all sorts of, but we're not told that. We're simply told he came by night. Now, I don't know about you, but I was saved in the night. So I'm a bit like Nicodemus. I came to the Lord at night. So I'm not going to say anything about that. And Jesus said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I looked up a little bit of history on Nicodemus. Didn't find a lot, but I did find the following comment. Whether John's narrations or the words of Jesus, John 3:16, has become perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, or one phrase comes to the power of the gospel, but what are we to make of the man Nicodemus, who visited Jesus in the middle of the night and whose conversation sparked this verse? I'm pleased that he came so that we could have John chapter 3. What motive did he have in coming? John's account tells us that Nicodemus was a Pharisee of the ruling council of the Sanhedrin. So this man Nicodemus was a man of some prominence, some importance in the Jewish hierarchy. And he obviously was there at various town meetings. He was obviously one of the prominent people that you would want to meet and to know. And yet he understood that he had a problem, and that Jesus was the solution to that problem. Now, you can go on and review how he spoke about Jesus later on when they were in the Sanhedrin. You can check to see that he came to recover the body and to prepare the body for burial. Because Jesus had cleansed the temple with a whip earlier, that is John 2:14-17, he had made few friends among the leaders of Jerusalem. Thus, the visit of such an important official is certainly noteworthy. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. First in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, of a truth I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what's the key to seeing the kingdom of God? It's being born again. In John 3:5, Jesus tells us, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we can see that this is a very important expression. He then says in John 3:7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, ye must be born again." So Jesus was bringing out several times to Nicodemus this thought that he must be born again. I think he was trying to provoke him to comment. And then in John 6:47, "I say unto you, he who believes in me has eternal life. To understand what it means to be born again, one must understand that there are two births." We're going to look at those two births now. The first birth is the physical birth. When you are born into this world to your mother and father, and in John 3:5, when it says one must be born of the water and the Spirit, the water does not refer to baptism. So anyone who is telling you that that's a baptism quote, it's not. It just simply means a physical birth. The second birth is the spiritual birth, which means to be born by God's Holy Spirit. And once you're born by God's Holy Spirit, you are born or reborn forever. You cannot lose your salvation. Once that's in place, it's there permanently. So it's a very important concept in the Christian church. So why does someone need to be spiritually born? Why do we need this spiritual birth? Well, many people have heard about a spiritual birth, but not everyone has understood it. During one of Billy Graham's preaching tours in the 1970s, and I was alive in the 1970s, at least in Sydney, well, I was alive, he was in Sydney, the Catholic Church was invited to participate in the Crusade. The expression of being born again, which was quite prevalent in those days, was overcome by the Catholic councillors. They were told to tell anyone that came forward that once you received communion or the body of Christ, you were born again. And so what they did was they changed the definition of the term so that they could remove anyone querying about being born again. So the minute you took the wafer, you took the body of Christ, you were born again. And that's the way they got out of it. I know this because we had a saved man in our work Bible study group who was a counsellor for the Catholic Church during the Crusade. And that's how he was told to explain that term about being born again. So what does it really mean to be born once, die twice, but to be born twice and to die once? It sounds a bit confusing, but there is a simple explanation. Is it possible to get a glass of water? Because I'm really drying out. Thank you. The Bible teaches us that God created mankind in his image in the form of body, soul, and spirit. Our body is the temple to house our soul and spirit. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 4, which we'll not look at this morning. Our physical body is just a shell casing to house our spirit in order to recognize each other on earth. So to be clear, we have a mind to think, we have a heart to feel, and we have a will to decide. Body, soul, and spirit. The soul is distinctively different from the spirit. Hebrews 4:12 speaks of this by saying, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Breaking this down further, animals have souls because they have a heart to feel, a mind to think, and a will to decide. But they do not have a spirit to discern spiritual matters. That God created man to be uniquely special, or he was uniquely created above all other species, because God created man to have a relationship with him. It's the spirit that makes us totally different from animals, which is, of course, a good argument for creation. Man's spirit is dead in sin when he was born. So everyone that is born, even those very lovely and pretty babies that come into the world, they come into the world without a spirit. They're dead. They were born in Adam's sin. They're without God. When a baby is born, it is born without God in its life. We inherit a sin nature from Adam. Now, I know everyone says this, and I'll say it again. You don't have to teach a child to sin. You don't have to teach them to do the wrong thing. It just comes out of them. It comes out of all of us. So the reason we need to be born spiritually is because we've never been spiritually born in the beginning. We need to have that spiritual birth. When the Bible speaks and teaches about being born again, it means just that. We were born once physically in sin, so we need to be born again spiritually in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. God created us, but he also gave us a free will of choice to decide whether we want to spend eternity with God or away from God. Now, I think it might have been easier for us if God had just created us so that we couldn't decide. But he chose to create us with a free will. And he gave us the choice of deciding whether we want to spend eternity with God or whether we want to spend eternity away from God. And therefore, to choose to die once or to die twice. Here's how you can die once or twice. A short lesson from Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden first. When they disobeyed God's command not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 2:17, notice they did not physically die then, but rather spiritually, because they died spiritually because sin and death then entered into the human race and they hid themselves from the presence of God. That came out this morning in the message we had earlier. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't die physically. It took another few hundred years for that to happen. But they died spiritually, and they knew that they were separated from God because God had to come and find them. They were hiding when God came looking for them. The Bible teaches us that from that moment up until now, mankind has been born spiritually dead. So to be spiritually born means that God's Holy Spirit quickens us. Now, the word quickens means makes us alive or lively. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," or makes us alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." When a sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Christ, then God the Father, God the Son, come into one's heart in the form of the Holy Spirit. John 14:23 says, the Holy Spirit is God within us. God is not within us when we're physically born. God is within us when we are spiritually born. If you're born only once, that is physically or bodily, and never turn from your sins, never accept Jesus Christ into your heart, then you will die twice. Once physically, the second time spiritually, or an eternal death. Spending eternity in the lake of fire, which we call hell. And Brother Ian commented this morning and said, it's forever and ever and ever. Just like the Christian lives in heaven forever, for eternity, so the unbeliever lives in the lake of fire forever. That's a sobering thought. The book of Revelation speaks of this second death in several places. One being Revelation 26, which says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. So if you're raptured in the first resurrection, then the second death will have no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And in Revelation 21, 7 and 8 it says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. However, if we're born twice, first the physical body, and then again if we choose to turn from our sins, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and spiritually receiving him, then we'll only die once. That is the physical death. And spiritually, we will be alive and we will live eternally with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in heaven. Romans 8:9 tells us that the Spirit of Christ dwells in every believer. The Godhead indwells the believer, but we're not gods. We have the Godhead dwelling within every believer. The Holy Spirit of God guides, comforts, teaches, rebukes, chastises, and convicts us, encourages us, loves us, and so much more. The Holy Spirit uses God's word to do these things. This is why it's critically important for every believer to live in, that is, to hear, to read, to study, to memorize, and to meditate on their Bible. And that's why individuals need to be absolutely sure that they're born again. It is only possible through the Spirit of God, which makes us alive again, quickened, as the Bible says, by faith in Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We are saved by repenting of our sins, that is our unbelief, and believing the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, was raised, ascended up into heaven, and that if you believe that, you will only die once, but you will live eternally with God forever. So what's the application then from this message? What's the application from the message? When I was 4 years old, and I don't remember being 4 years old, my mother had a miscarriage. And that's what I understand what happened. As I said, I was 4 years old. Something happened. I believe it was a miscarriage. And after she recovered from that, she started attending church at the local Methodist church. So I was sent to Sunday school when I was 4. I became a Sunday school teacher when I was 16. But I wasn't saved until I was 20. How can that be? How can that be? We had a lay preacher come to our Methodist church for the evening service. His wife had just had a baby. It was pouring with rain. He went to the wrong church by mistake, because we had a circuit of churches, and he went to the wrong church by mistake. The service was really getting on by the time he finally arrived. So he put aside his notes. Oh, by the way, this is the time before mobile phones. There was a time before mobile phones. Let me tell you there was. So when he came, he opened his Bible at John chapter 3 and verse 16. And among other things, he asked us to put our name in the verse, "For God so loved Peter." And I'd encourage you to do that at some point of time. I was sitting in the back row up where Linton is, and he pointed his finger at me and he said, "If you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, you're not a Christian." Pointed right at me and said, "If you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, you're not a Christian." Now that might sound remarkable, but the Friday before the Sunday, I was working at Garden Island Dockyard as a draftsman, and one of the men in the that was working there came up to me and said, "Peter, are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I'm a Christian." He said, "How do you know that you're a Christian?" I have no idea how that conversation ended, because I cannot remember it, but obviously it did finish. And when I went to church on the Sunday night and the preacher pointed his finger at me and said, "If you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, you're not a Christian," it was instant. That's why I'm not a Christian. It was very simple to me. So that night, the 16th of April, 1967, that's 50 years next year, that night I was born again. I don't know the spiritual state of every person here this morning, but I know that it's possible to be in a church for 16 years and not to be challenged about my state of salvation. You might say, "My family is saved, therefore I'm saved, because I'm part of the saved family." No, it doesn't work that way. Well, I think I'm saved. I thought I was saved. I thought I was going to heaven, but I'd never received the Lord Jesus into my heart. I hope I'm saved. That's an expression I'm sure you've heard. I must be saved. I've been attending church all my life. Everyone will go to heaven anyway, so God wouldn't send anyone to hell, would he? Everyone's going to heaven. God wouldn't send anyone to hell, would he? This is a good one. Everyone thinks I'm saved, so it would be embarrassing to admit that I'm not sure. Everybody thinks I'm saved. It would be embarrassing to admit or to think that I'm not sure. Let me put it to you this way. If you can't think of a place or a time or an event that you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, then you may not be saved. You may want to make sure. I know many people who have said, "I think I was saved when I was a child, but I made sure on this date." If you're not sure or simply don't know, let me encourage you to, if you're a young person, talk to your parents about that. If you're an older person, talk to Pastor Mitchell about that. Or a close, trusted, saved friend. Because the Bible says we can know that we're saved. Nicodemus was obviously a saved man by the time he went to recover the body of Jesus. It may have taken him a number of years, I'm not sure. But the man that was told he needed to be born again took that advice, I'm sure. So make sure today that you are born twice and will only need to die once. Thank you. I was a bit unsure about what final hymn that I should have, and I was thinking about Room at the Cross for You, and I was thinking about You Must Be Born Again. So what I've decided to do is to read to you the verses of Room at the Cross for You, and then we'll sing the other one to conclude. 243, the hymn says, "The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. Its grace so free, it's sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. Though millions have found him a friend, and have turned from their sins they have sinned, the Saviour still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. The hand of my Saviour is strong, and the love of my Saviour is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you." Let's close the service by singing 194, "You Must Be Born Again."